The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
God bless you, folks. God bless you. God bless you. You're very kind. God bless you. Very kind. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. I find it difficult to believe that we're in the closing moments of the 2015 Baptist Leadership Conference. I'm not even gone, and I'm looking forward already in getting back. I'll be forever grateful for that night in a revival meeting not too far from here when God allowed my path to cross with Dr. and Mrs. Mike Wells, the Wells family, and I believe knitted our hearts together. They're not acquaintances, they're not associates, but they're actual friends. And I rejoice in what God is doing with this preacher and this people in this part of the Lord's vineyard. I made a statement when I was in the college pulpit this morning that I want to reiterate again tonight. And here's the statement. I've been saying it as I crisscrossed the country, and I want to just mention tonight that old-time religion works on both sides of the Mason-Dixon line, and it works on both sides of the Mississippi River. And here is a pastor, Dr. Mike Wells, and a people, the Parkside Baptist Church, that are a walking, talking, breathing, living example of that certain exhortation. And so thank you, Dr. Wells, for the privilege of being back. And I don't know who you have scheduled for my slot next year, but whoever it is, I have it on good authority. They're toting a bad Bible and they've got three girlfriends. You really need help for that. You really do. I appreciate the comfortable motel room, the delicious meals, the warm times of fellowship. You have literally rolled out the red carpet for me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to mention one more time that I am so proud and pleased with what the Lord has blessed you with in this beautiful auditorium. It is sharp, it is first class, it is right, and I realize there's a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears that's gone into it. And I want to commend you, congratulate you on this beautiful auditorium. Thank you for the great singing tonight, and I'm so looking forward in hearing my dear friend, Dr. Larry Brown, preach. I've never heard Dr. Brown preach, but what I've been blessed and benefited by his pulpit prowess. And I've heard him preach enough to know that really all I have to do tonight is bunt. That's all I have to do. All I need to do is hit that first base, because he's coming, and when he gets to the plate, he'll knock it out of the park. I'll score, he'll have a home run for us, and at the end of the night, the scoreboard will read, Saints 2, Aints 0. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 31. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Isaiah, chapter number 40, and verse number 31. If you need help finding the book of Isaiah, you have Genesis, you have Exodus, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, and Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. For a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, getting to the next level for God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be
If you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit, place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Give us fresh warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. Give Dr. Brown a measure of preaching power as he's yet to preach tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. In every field, walk of life, and profession, an individual finds the call and challenge to elevate their enterprise. Sadly, this same drive is missing even in our fundamental Christians, in our fundamental churches. If a coach, chief executive officer, or a candidate can wave the banner that reads upward, upward, and upward, then certainly a Bible preacher can do the same for right and righteousness. Getting to the next level for God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, we find one of the most prominent verses on the pages of the Old Testament. A person, Dr. Wells, would be hard-pressed to discover another scripture that has made its way to more cups, Bible covers, plaques, flags, or jewelry than this single scripture. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: an introduction to the God of Israel, verses 1 through 26, and then an invitation by the God of Israel, verses 27 through 31. It is well the prophet Isaiah is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with an invitation by the God of Israel that an individual learns how a Christian or church or even a Bible college can take their stride or their service to a higher plateau for the glory world. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Here are 33 words that can take any saint from the basement to the balcony, from the launching pad to the planets, and from the substitute to the starter. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to get to another level. I don't know about you, but I want to get to a higher plane. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay spiritually where I am tonight. I want to go higher and higher and higher for him and with him. Here is a conference that deals with Baptist leadership. And bowling down that alley, here is a Bible verse that will help each and every one of us go to that next level for God. Let's quickly notice it tonight as we find facets in this gem of truth that will guide the child of God to another level for God. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, should take this truth and use it to move to a higher table land, getting to the next level for God. Let's quickly notice it. Number one, the expectancy. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A facet in this gem of truth that will guide the child of God to another level for God is the expectancy. In verse 31, the prophet Isaiah tells us that there is an anticipation with those who climb higher for God and good. A person must note here that in this notable phrase, probability and power are interrelated. In other words, if one is not willing to be patient, then they shouldn't be surprised that the power doesn't come. Andrew Murray once said, if you are to wait aright upon the Lord, you must learn to know Him. You must turn away your thoughts and eyes and heart and trust from everything and set them upon God alone. The unknown poet put it like this: wait on the Lord, not so in haste, my heart, have faith in God and wait. Although He linger long, He never comes too late. He never comes too late. He knoweth what is best. Vex not thyself in vain. Until He cometh, rest. Until He cometh, rest. Nor grudge the hours that roll. The feet that wait for God are soonest at the goal. Friend, you and I can get to the next level for God by the expectancy. The Bible says in Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Well, waiting on God is the perfect time to start a new bus route. Begin reading your Bible more. Add another special time of secret prayer and step up your personal soul winning. You see, waiting on God is not the time that we push the pause button, but waiting on God is when we push the pursue button. And if you and I are going to get to the next level for God, we are not to be absolutely doing nothing. We're supposed to be doing everything. And by doing that everything, there is that expectancy that God uses to take us to another level. Spiritual hobos never go high with God. Spiritual hobos never go far with God. And so if you and I are going to get to the next level for God, there has to be that expectancy. Dr. Arthur Pearson once told about being alone in the study of the great man of faith and achievement, George Mueller. Thinking that it would be a good time to look at the great man's Bible, he opened it and was thumbing through its pages when he came to a verse in Psalms where it reads, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37:23. Opposite on the margin, Mueller had made this notation, and the stops too. Hey, believer, no stop time is wasted if we're waiting on God and wanting Him to take us a little bit higher for Him. Oh, how does a church, how does a Christian, how does a college go to the next level for God? There is the expectancy. Number two, let me hasten the elevation. Still in verse 31, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. A facet in this gem of truth that will guide the child of God to another level for God is the elevation. In verse 31, the prophet Isaiah tells us that there is an altitude with those who climb higher for God and good. The fact that God uses an eagle. And can we just pause for station identification and let me mention that there are many birds in the Bible. Why, you find sparrows, you find ravens, and you find here an eagle. The fact that God uses an eagle and not a hummingbird forever drives the point home to the heart. No one gets to the high places by buzzing around spiritual flowers, tree sap, and social theaters. I am John Hamlin, and I approve of this message. If we're going to get to the next level for God, there has to be in my heart, and there has to be in your heart, and there has to be in all of our hearts that elevation. Now, there are several necessary spots that the saint has to visit to be favored by heaven. And I would imagine if I were to say tonight who wants to be favored by heaven, I believe it would be unanimous. I absolutely believe that Dr. Brown, everyone would raise their hand and everyone would say, that's me, and everyone would readily agree, man, where do I sign on the bottom line? Where do I step up? Man, I want to be favored by heaven. But as I was preparing this message, I thought about those unique spots that a believer has to visit to be favored by heaven. And it may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but the first spot is the shadow place. Acts 6:5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Oh, a place that the believer, a necessary spot, has to visit to be favored by heaven is the shadow place. In God's economy, you never get the title until you've done the task when you thought nobody took the time to notice you doing the task. Anyone God ever uses in the light was faithful in the dark. Instead of chasing the title, what we ought to be chasing is the task. Instead of chasing the popularity, we ought to be chasing the purpose and privilege. You say, boy, I want to go to the next level for God. Man, I want to be favored by God. I want to be blessed by God. Then there has to be in my life and in your life as well that shadow place. Secondly, it's similar but still starkly different, the secret place. 2 Kings 4:33, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord. A place that a believer has to visit to be favored by heaven is the secret place. It is not what the child of God does in public, but what they do in private that determines how high they go for God. Wells family sang tonight and blessed our hearts. You know why? They were in their Bible this morning. They were in their prayer closet today. They were walking with God an hour before the service. You see, sometimes we fail to realize, and Dr. Brown so masterfully preached on that thought Monday night, sometimes we forget to realize that it's what you and I do in private that determines how God uses us in public. Oh, a place that a believer has to visit to be used of God and taken to another level. That elevation is that secret place. And then thirdly, here's what separates the men from the boys, the suffering place. Job 2:7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Oh, a spot that a believer has to visit to be favored by heaven is the suffering place. No one arrives at the pinnacle place who has tried to sidestep the painful place. Have you ever thought about that those verses that we go to in our Bibles, when our hearts are broken in 1,000 pieces, are those same verses that were penned by those under inspiration, and we have it by preservation, whose hearts were broken in 1,000 pieces. Did you ever think about the fact the hymns that we go to when we've left the doctor's office after hearing a serious physician's report, those hymns that we go to when the call comes in the middle of the night of the sudden passing of a precious loved one, those hymns that we go to when we've been betrayed by someone that we thought was a friend. And while I'm on that, let me go ahead and get on this. You know, there are some people that they're in the bus ministry. They don't realize it, but they're in the bus ministry. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They're always throwing somebody underneath one. I have never gotten to the place where I enjoy friendly fire. Now, I expect enemy fire, and enemy fire is when you're shot in the chest. But friendly fire is when you're shot in the back. I wish somebody helped me preach tonight. And those songs that we run to, those songs in the hymn book that we find refuge when our heart has been broken in a thousand pieces, are those same hymns that were written by those whose hearts were broken in a thousand pieces as well. Oh, that every believer that was in this service would realize that those necessary spots that we have to visit to be favored by heaven is the shadow place, the secret place, and the suffering place. That's why you ought to be very careful when someone's going through a low valley that you call it chastisement. It could be God choosing them to take them to another level. That's why you better be real careful what you say on Waste Book. I say that out loud. I can't tell what I say in my head and what I say out loud. Mrs. Hamlin says you never say anything in your head. It's all out loud. But you better be real careful what you say about somebody or to somebody that's going through what you might think is chastisement. It may not be chastisement at all. It just might be God. They're favoring them and God blessing them and God taking them to another level. Hey, there's no one in this Bible that was used of God in a powerful way, but what they went through, the low land of a heartbreak. Oh, that every believer in this service would realize those unique places that we have to visit to be favored by heaven is the shadow place, the secret place, and the suffering place. On February 14th, 1884, future President Theodore Roosevelt's wife and mother die only hours apart. Roosevelt was at work in the New York State Legislature attempting to get a government reform bill passed when he was summoned home by his family. He returned home to find his mother had succumbed to typhoid fever on the same day his wife of 4 years, Alice Lee, died of Bright's disease, a severe kidney ailment. Only 2 days before her death, Alice Lee had given birth to the couple's daughter, Alice. The double tragedy devastated Roosevelt. He put in his diary on that day an entry of a large black X, and beneath the words he wrote, "The light has gone out of my life." But he would go on years later to become the President of the United States in 1901 as the result of President William McKinley's death. One of his favorite sayings, Dr. Wells, was "Black care rarely sits behind a rider whose pace is fast enough. All steps, even to the White House, which call a person higher and higher and higher, have the dark foreboding shadow of sadness full across them." Oh, to get to the next level for God, There is the elevation. And then number three, and last of all, my time's gone. Not only the expectancy, and if I can, let me chase a rabbit for just a moment. Ran across my outline, a rabbit. For me, it's always rabbit season. And the Lord helping me, I want to shoot that rabbit. I want to skin it, and I want to present to someone tonight a pair of fuzzy slippers. But I can chase a rabbit for just a moment. When Mrs. Hamlin and I were on our honeymoon, this June will be 34 wonderful years ago. When we were at Niagara Falls, one night we had dinner at a very fancy, fine restaurant. It's a pinnacle, and on the top of that restaurant, it revolves, and you see the Canadian Falls, the Horseshoe Falls, and you see the American Falls. And as we were having dinner nearly 35 years ago on that honeymoon, I looked at her, Mrs. Wells, and I told her some things. I said, "Sweetheart, I believe God's going to do this, and I believe God's going to do that, and I believe God's going to do the other." And I said, "Sweetheart, if we'll just stay faithful, if we'll just stay in His will, if we just stay close to Him, if we'll just walk with Him, I believe, sweetheart, with all of my heart, God is going to do that." I'm happy to report to you that God has done every one of those things and more, so much more. But God wouldn't have done any of that if there hadn't been in the heart of a young preacher an expectancy, an expectancy, an expectancy. You don't get any higher with God or for God unless there is that expectancy. You young preachers, you hear Dr. Brown preach, Dr. Smith preach, Dr. Wells preach. There ought to be something in your heart that's burning so hot that a truckload of Rolaids would never put it out. And Dr. Wells and the Parkside Baptist Church has a big day, and this place is jam-packed, so much so that you couldn't even use a shoehorn to put two more people in the building. Young preacher, there ought to be something going on in your soul saying, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." Hey, you know what that is? That's an expectancy. You say, "Well, I don't know if God's in that or not." Well, then how about if you do this? How about if you have no expectancy and then reach nothing? Whoop! Goes right there. No one gets to the next level for God without the expectancy. Number two, the elevation. And then number three, and last of all, the endurance. Still in verse 31, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. A facet in this gem of truth that will guide the child of God to another level for God is the endurance. In verse 31, the prophet Isaiah tells us that there is an ability to deal with adversity with those who climb higher for God and good. Please note, both means of movement by the human body are covered in this part of the scripture. Run and walk, and neither are a problem even when weary and wanting to faint, because of the endurance that comes to those who elevate. Man, I know some Christians that are real good at walking, but when God says run, they can't run. And then I know some Christians that are really good at running, but when God says walk, they can't walk. But here's what thrills my soul. When you and I, oh my, get to the next level for God, it doesn't matter the assignment, whether it be walking or running or running or walking, regardless of the assignment, we always achieve. Because God gives us that endurance. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "Be it yours and mine to outstrip the energy of this world, and so to run in our Master's ways as to prove that the servants of Christ can render Him more loyal and devoted service than the princes win from their flatterers and favorites. Friend, you and I can get to the next level for God by the endurance. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Shouldn't surprise anyone that those in both the natural and supernatural world who are remembered for playing on a higher plane are also revered for their perseverance. I'm closing with this. On a weary day, on October 21st, 1879, after 13 months, a year and a month of repeated failures, Thomas A. Edison succeeded in his search for filament that would stand the stress of electric current. This is how it happened. Casually. Picking up a bit of lamp black, he mixed it with tar and rolled it into a thin thread. Then the thought occurred, why not try a carbonized cotton fiber? For 5 hours he worked, but it broke before he could remove the mold. Two spools of thread were used up. At last, a perfect strand emerged, only to be ruined when trying to place it in the glass tube. Edison refused to admit defeat. He continued without sleep for 2 days and two nights. Finally, he managed to slip one of the carbonized threads on the current. He said, the sight we had so long desired to see finally met our eyes. All that went behind what you did today when you got up early this morning and flipped a switch, and the light came on. All that went behind what you did last night when you called it a day and flipped the switch when the light went off. And every day of the world, we use electric light without even thinking that the one that God used to give us that light was one who had perseverance. Hey, Christian, if an inventor can burn the midnight oil, have a never give up mindset, and manage to do something big in spite of terrific odds, you better believe that the believer with the Bible under their arm, the Holy Ghost in their hearts, and Isaiah 40:31, in their minds can do absolutely no less. Said, boy, I want to get to the next level for God. There has to be the expectancy. He said, boy, I want to get to the next level for God. There has to be the elevation. Said, boy, I want to get to the next level for God. There has to be the endurance. I'm closing with this. Somewhere in your hymn book is the hymn. And if I can help you for a moment, in the Gospel of Matthew, before Jesus went to Calvary, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the dark shadow of Calvary fell upon him. And your King James Bible tells you they sang a hymn. Hello? They didn't sing a her. They sang a hymn. The reason they're called hymns is because they're all about him. And I want to sit in your lap for a moment and preach up your nose hole and tell you that if Jesus didn't have a problem with a hymn before he went to Calvary, then why in the world are there so-called churches that are trying to run the line and even go over the line and have a Chuck E. Cheese service? Where was I before you interrupted me? Somewhere in that hymn book is a hymn that was written by Johnson Oatman Jr. I have a hobby of visiting the graves of great Christians and great preachers. And it's interesting, Dr. Wells, don't often mention it. Sometimes in my preaching, like tonight, I'll refer to it. But it's interesting that I'll be preaching in a place and folks will find out that I have that hobby. And they'll say, you know, Dr. Hamlin, about an hour from here or about 45 minutes from here, there's a grave of a great Christian or a great preacher. The last time that I was in Longhorn State, I had the privilege of visiting my hero and precious friend, Dr. Carl Hatch's grave. And I visited the grave of Dr. Jack Hiles' dad in Italy, Texas, where he prayed for the power of God. Well, I was preaching in a Bible conference back in December a number of years ago in Morristown, New Jersey. And someone found out that I had the hobby of visiting the graves of great Christians and great preachers. And they said, Dr. Hamlin, not too far from where you're preaching in this conference is the grave of Johnson Oatman, Jr. They said, would you know who that is? I said, absolutely. He was a hymn writer. I said, if I'm not mistaken, he was a contemporary of Billy Sunday. He wrote Higher Ground. He wrote Last Mile of the Way. He wrote Count Your Blessings. It was after preaching in a Tuesday morning service. The pastor and a few of us preachers went to that grave and on a cold December rainy day stood under an umbrella at the grave of Johnson Oatman Jr. and sang, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward go. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.